Jeremiah chapter 31. What a lovely day we've had today. The Albrights have taken great care of me today. Your pastor texted me and said, "Well, how's it going? Are they taking good care of you?" And I said, "Brother, they are spoiling me bad." So thank the Lord. And what a good-looking crowd in every sense of the word tonight. What a good-looking crowd. Y'all have come back out for Sunday night service. Well, hope I don't bore you or bother you or trouble you. If I do, just start looking at the clock or something, and we'll try to do something different maybe if you feel like it's of the Lord. But I know there's times we need a good old-fashioned skinning. It's just good for us every now and then. Keeps us on track. Keeps us straight. We need it sometimes. Just a good skinning. I've left before old-fashioned camp meetings and revivals and even services down home there in the backwoods of Kentucky. And I knew they got a hold of me. Both shins was bleeding. I didn't have enough Band-Aids to cover them all. And some of that I was like, that's the craziest stuff I've ever heard in my life. And then I'd go home and read my Bible and get to praying, and God showed me that it wasn't as crazy as I thought it was. And there are times for that. And maybe one of these days, if we get back together at some point, we'll look at some of those things. But tonight, could I try to unburden my heart and preach part two of what I started this morning? Would that be okay? Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31. One time I went down to Southern Ohio and preached a revival. And when I got there, I preached all week, Monday through Sunday. And so that had been twice on Sunday. And the whole revival, I preached one text over and over and over. And it was this text right here. I got to where I could open my little Bible and it just fall open to this place. It was just wore out to this thought and this topic, and we looked at it from every angle. There's so much here. I can scratch the surface tonight. Just barely touched it this morning. There's so much more to it. And it's a topic that's big enough to swim in. It's an ocean to sink in, and it's still the thought of the love of God. Jeremiah chapter 31. We'll just do verse 3 by itself, although verses 1 through 4, or at least the first of verse 4, really build this thought. But it says, verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." What a beautiful scripture tonight for a platform to preach from. Father, we thank you for this night right here. We thank you, Lord, for bringing each one of us from different directions back together tonight to worship you. And as much as I appreciate this crowd, I didn't come to see them necessarily tonight, and I hope they didn't come to see me. We come to worship you this evening, to be in your presence, to sing about you, to pray to you, to express our joy for you. And now we've come to the place, Lord, to listen to the preaching of thy word. Would you add your anointing to it that makes it possible and powerful and productive, Lord, for the speaker and the hearer alike. And we'll praise you and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, "The Lord had appeared of old unto him, and he said, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Well, I got on course a while back trying to track that down and figure out just exactly what all that means, to love with an everlasting love. And I don't think I got it done. I don't think I got it finished, but I did have a few thoughts in the middle of that. And in thinking about an everlasting love, that means that me and you could turn around and go backwards and go back there to where we started and go even further still. And we could go back to where those before us started and go even further still. And we could go back till the New Testament closes and the Old Testament starts there toward its finish, and we could still go farther. And we could go right on back and right on back and right on back. And we could go back to the very dawn of time before God ever stepped out and cast the first star into heaven, or he put the sun out to shine, or the moon, or the universes and all these things. And we could keep going back and back and back until there's nothing left but God himself. And from that place, he looks at me and you and says, I have loved you from the beginning with an everlasting love. That's pretty rich, ain't it? I don't know if y'all understand Kentucky lingo sometime, but that rings my bell. That's good stuff. Way back there, he was thinking of me. He's seen you. He's seen your kids. He's seen your grandkids. He's seen you kids. And he said, I've loved you from way back there. And then when we get back there, we can turn around again and come back to here and keep right on rolling and right on rolling. And to use the same thought, after every star has refused to shine and fell from the heavens, and God's closed the sun up wherever it is that he's going to, however it is he's going to do it, this thing's wrapped up and rolled up and done. From there, God stands and says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. That's good. That's good stuff. You know, every now and then when you're riding down the road in your car and everything ain't going right, you should think that he said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Every now and then when you get the phone call, you know, that you never expected. Or you go in the doctor's office and he comes in and sits down and pulls his chair in close and kind of whispers a little bit and talks real low because he's giving you some bad news. It would do us good every now and then to remember that God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And he says, it's from that everlasting love that with loving kindness I have drawn you in. I've drawn you in. God said, I've taken the initiative and I've drawn you. I've pulled you to my, I've beckoned you to my side from that love that I have to you. Probably the richest thing we'll ever experience in our whole life is coming to terms with the fact that God loves us as individuals. You see, it's no problem for me tonight and tell you that these lost people in this community, and I'm sure you've got them because every community has them, it's no problem for me to leave this place tonight and go track them down and find where they're at and look them in the face, lost and undone without God, and say, let me tell you something, sir. Let me tell you something, ma'am. God loves you because I believe it. It's no problem for me to look at the wayward tonight and tell them God loves you. God is married to the backslider and God loves you. There's no problem for me to look at you, good people, tonight and say God loves you. But I want you to know something. Sometimes it's a completely different story for me to stand in front of the mirror, brushing my teeth, wiping my face, and say, Matt Blankenship, God loves you. You see, sometimes the enemy seems to trick us since he's so mean. And we can see God loves everybody else. But sometimes it's hard in all of our faults and failures and disappointments, all of our lumps, bumps, and bruises, to look in the mirror and see that God loves me. And for you to see that God loves you. But God said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. The old songwriter said, he knew me, and yet he loved me. And I don't have it words to do justice tonight, so I'm going to have to borrow some. Goes to running, and so I go to snotting, blowing my nose, falling to pieces. I haven't had an etiquette class yet. I don't know that it would help. They've helped me so far, so maybe. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary times shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That is rich stuff, isn't it? The third verse of this was found written on the walls of an American insane asylum by a man said to have been mentally deranged. And they found the words when they laid the man in his coffin. And they said he was out of touch. Well, he might have been out of touch with this world, but he was in touch with somewhere. Oh, the love of God. I just take things for face value, but I want you to know tonight, friend, if you do not know what I'm talking about and you don't understand this love, you don't have to leave here like that tonight. You don't have to leave here tonight without being just absolutely walking over to the edge and closing your eyes and just falling off deep into the love of God. Just falling off in it and sinking and letting him bring you back to the top. There's no need to leave here outside of that. I want to bring God's love into perspective tonight. Try to in three different ways. Number one is the past. I'm not going to give you the scripture where I'm at because you'll go to digging for it. You can look it up later. But I want to show you this tonight through God's word. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Let me tell you where we get stuck at, and we should on this verse. We get stuck here. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. And we should love one another. But I want you to know there's something interesting in that verse, and we look over it if we're not careful. But he said, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Now that's past tense. That's past. He said, I've been doing this. I've loved you. He's telling the disciples. He's telling the crowd. He's telling all these people. He said, I have loved you. Now, I don't like that Kentucky, you know, everybody thinks we're dumb. And we may be, but I'm not going to own it. I don't like that. We're dumb hillbillies, you know. We ain't got no teeth and all that stuff, you know. But I do have a little trouble with English, probably. The day I said, I've been taking these classes and they're talking about Greek in a ministerial program. And one man, and I'm not even sure he's connected to college, but he's pretty smart. He came to me and he said, Brother Blankenship, he said, that's a good idea, but probably it would be best if you would look at least one English class first. At least one. And so I do understand that, but I also know enough that it don't take too high in school to learn that that word is past tense. And he's been doing it. He said, I want you to love one another, and I want you to do it in this manner, like I've been loving you. And if we drop all the rest and just pull one thing from that tonight, you can go forth from this place knowing that God has been loving you. In or out, up or down, wherever you find yourself at tonight, my friend, God has been loving you, been caring for you, been sticking with you. I remember being back there lost and undone without God and hooked up and messed up in all them drugs and all that mess. And I'm not bragging on that. It's an awful place to go. But finally, God brought me out of there. I let him get me out. But I remember being back in the middle of all that. We'd been to the next little town over. We was coming back on U.S. 60 toward Olive Hill, Kentucky. And we was zipping down those back roads in a Mustang. I was in the passenger seat. My friend was driving. We had another gentleman in the back. And we ran up behind my mother, who was on the same highway. And so we thought it'd be funny to go around her. And while she thought it'd be funny to just floor it too and just kind of keep us from going around her. So there we was, both hammered down the highway. And we'd done that for the longest time down those straight stretches. And then we'd been loose before in cars and stuff. And I knew that feeling. I knew what it was like to get loose and then come back out of it and go on. And we started getting loose there in that turn going into that straight stretch. And I thought, well, he can bring it out of it. But it kept going further and further and further. And I knew he was in trouble. And we got loose and we climbed that bank and we hit that oak tree. And we climbed it. And when we went upside down airborne, I looked at the speed armor and we was running 104. And there we are upside down, floating through the air. And I see quarters. And then we're end over end down U.S. 60. And I see pocket knives and potato chip bags and all this stuff flying by my head. And when it's all over, we're on our top sliding down the road. And here I am lost. And I'm thinking, oh, God. Oh, God, I hope I don't die. And just as I started out the windshield and my nose was about to touch a windshield and I was headed out of there, the airbag popped and put me back down in my seat. And when we come to a stop and the dust settled and the smoke cleared, I looked around and we're upside down. I slide out that window and I stand up and I just got a few little scratches on me. And me and my sister had to pick that car up and pop the door latch to get my friend out that's all buckled over in there. And they haul them off to the hospital and I walk away. God has been good to me. And you don't have to go through those things to know that God's been good to you, but I can see the places in my life where the devil's trying to kill me. But God's been good to me. Jesus said, I have loved you. It's past tense. And if we can see that he's loved us in the past, I want you to know we can see that he's loving us in the present. It's happening right now. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now I want to stop right here for just a minute. We're scared to death of that kind of language, ain't we? That charismatic crowd has scared us to death. But Jesus said that. He said, those that love me and allow me to come into their life, I'll manifest. I'll show up. Something's going to be different. Something's going to happen. I'm not talking about weird and crazy stuff. Something good's going to happen. I'm going to manifest myself to those people. And then one asked him, they said, how are you going to do that? And he said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words and my Father will love him and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine but the Father which sent me. He said, the man that loves me will keep my words or do what I say. And me and my Father will come and make our abode with him. That is pretty present tense, isn't it? That's pretty up to date. I seen a little something a while back. Will this thing work if I come down there for a minute? I seen a little something a while back. Who am I going to borrow? Brother, can I borrow you for just a second? Stand up, please. Thank you, sir. Now turn around here. I'm going to do this right here. All right, good. All right, you ready? Okay, let's go. Let's go over here. What do you think about these folks over here? Hello, bro. Hello, bro. These are all right. Anything? Let's go over here. I'll go back here for a minute. Check these people out. You're doing a good job. What do you think? You're doing okay?
Yeah.
Oh, look at this lovely little lady. Ain't she so pretty? Little folks, okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, brother. Everything I experienced, he experienced with me. Everywhere I... You getting it? Moment by moment, play by play, as everything plays out, he's right there. He's with me. I see some of you getting teary-eyed on that. That's good, ain't it? He's with me now. Present tense. In the storm, in the flood, in the fire, through the blood. He is with me now. He said it'll be present tense. What a love that's present tense. If you can trust him with your past and he's loved you in the past, and you can trust him with the present and he's loving you in the present, I want you to know something. You can trust him with your future because he will love you in your future. Some people worry me, don't they? You? I'll just be honest with you. I say, God, take the wobble out of my walk. I want to be a steady man. I want to be a sturdy, steady man for my 12-year-old preteen girl. I want to be steady and sturdy and strong for her. I don't want to be all this wishy-washy, can't figure stuff out. And I want to be steady. I want to be steady in relationships with people. I want to be steady at the job. I want to be God's man and be steady. I want to be steady. I want to be somebody you can trust, Lord, and people can trust me. I worry about some folks, don't you? They tell me some stuff, and I just think, okay, we'll see. We'll see. And I know stuff comes up. But I want you to know something. God is not that way. Whatever he tells you, you can bank on it, so to speak. You can count on it. You don't have to have a plan B and a plan C on those things God says, because he'll come through. You can trust him with your future. The devil liked to tell us otherwise, wouldn't he? But you can trust God with your future. As the Father hath loved, and this is red letters, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. See, I'm afraid sometimes I pass over things that have great meaning. That one little phrase on the end of that is so important. Continue ye in my love. So the only thing for me to do for the future is to continue in the love that he's giving and pouring into my life. Appropriating that grace and walking in that love and continuing in the love that he's putting in my life. You know what that does? Well, I am a maintenance-geared person, so that's the way my thought process runs. But it's like a water heater with a pop-off valve. When there's too much pressure, there's a little valve, and the pop-off valve will go instead of something blowing up. And to me, that verse is a pop-off valve for the pressures of life. You know, I don't have to figure everything out. I don't have to have an answer for everything. I know all those men, we want to fix it. If it's broke, we got it. We'll fix this. But I don't have to have an answer for everything. You know what I need to do? You know what's a must? It's for me to hold steady and continue in his love.
And there's things that's going to happen and things that's going to go on that's only going to happen because I'm continuing in His love and appropriating the grace that He's pouring out. Some of you get that later and it'll bless you. That's good stuff. That's it. Just continue in that. And then there's another writer. This is not red letters, but there's another writer that says a little something else to add to it. He says this in question form. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. Are y'all still with me? Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I noticed something in that text, though, a while back. He said, death won't be able to separate us. I'm glad. Aren't you? When we cross that river, we go through that door, He will be there. All the uncertainties, we don't know what's on the other side exactly, but He will be there. But I want you to know something, friend. Sometimes he made this statement too. He said, nor life. Life. Sometimes the things that humanity, mankind, people like you, maybe like myself, go through, some of those things we have to go through, it might be easier to just die. Sometimes life could be more difficult than death. But He said not even life could separate us from the love of God. One night I got the phone call that a friend of mine's wife had left him. And then, and he's a preacher friend of mine. And a couple months had went on and I was trying to help him and be near to him, be close to him. Trying to give him encouragement of things to do and how to do while he's by himself. Ways to stay encouraged. Being alone. And then I got the phone call one evening that he'd had a heart attack and was in the hospital. And I thought, man, everything's falling apart for this gentleman, for my friend. And so I got all stirred up, and a friend of mine did too, that was his mutual friend. And so we met one another a good ways away, and we drove down through the night to see him. We got there up in the night, and I grabbed my guitar, and I didn't even ask. It was way up in the night. And you know, it's one of those things where you just act like you know what you're doing and hope nobody asks you any questions. So I just smiled and in our suits and carried my guitar right up through there and found his room and carried it in there. And as soon as I opened the door and me and my friend walked in, there's a grown man laying in a hospital bed and he just breaks and starts weeping and crying uncontrollably. I've never seen a grown man cry like that. He's just broken and he can't get his breath. And he's just weeping and crying. And he says this. All he can mutter every now and then is, I can't believe you're here. I can't believe you guys love me like this. I can't believe you love me. I can't believe you love me. Just bawling. See, he thought that nobody loved him anymore. We took that old guitar of mine and me and my friend passed it back and forth in that hospital. We was trying to be quiet. We was playing that guitar and singing him songs of encouragement. And we'd get blessed and I'd cry and blow my nose. And it was good. And my friend laid there in that bed and just wept and cried and wept and cried. And finally he said, Brother Blankenship, he said, I just wish God would kill me. He said, I just wish God would kill me. I thought, well, that don't sound right. And I just listened. And I done told you this morning I had that wonderful ability. And I said, Lord, please don't let that kick in now. And I listened to him just cry and tell me that over and over. But finally, I felt the wind of heaven in my sail. And I leaned up at the foot of that bed and I looked him in the face and I called him by name. I said, brother, God could kill you right now and it'd be just fine, take you on to heaven. I said, and it'd bring him glory. I said, or God could let you live. He could let you live and face and go through whatever it is that's in front of you with him by your side and living and dwelling within you and ruling and reigning, and you'll come out the other side better and he'll get more glory letting you live than killing you. Well, he didn't jive with that answer like I thought he should, because I was blessed by it. So we kept singing. Must have been another hour. We kept singing and praying and singing and praying. And finally he broke through on that and said, I want to live. I want to live. God, let me live. Just crying and weeping. Yeah, God could just kill us. Or he could let us go through it and stand by our side. Matter of fact, I got a sneaking suspicion. Some of you smart people could tell me later. I think when Jesus said, I'll send another comforter, I think that phrase could be broken down to the one that comes alongside. The one that comes alongside. Friend, he's got your future. He's got your future if you'll trust him with it. He's got it. He's got it if you'll believe him for it. Well, I wonder what kind of love it is, though. What's a picture of it? It's red letters. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. God loves you like he loves Jesus. I'm letting us marinate for just a minute in that, because that's pretty big. See, how much does he love me? He loves you as much as he loves his dear son that he sent to die for you and raised him from the dead. He loves you with that kind of love. A love that was before the foundation of the world. Now that's love. That's deep. He loves you like he loves Jesus. Oh, to think of the ways that, and the things that I had done to him. And yet he says, I love you. I forgive you. I love you. If we'll appropriate that grace. And even on the outside of that, friend, we could step off into hell tonight. Closed fist. Closed fist in the face of God. And it won't change one bit of the way that he loves you or loves me. If we go to hell, we'll go to hell with God loving us. Stepping over the blood. Again, I don't know how to put it into words. Borrow some more to close. Please don't leave here tonight with your heart thumping and that lump in your throat, knowing that tonight you'll walk out of this place stepping over the love of God that bids you and beckons you to his side. Maybe something's happened. Maybe a great tragedy has happened in your life, and somehow in the middle of it, it's driven you to the place to forget the love of God. And you fell out of the ark of safety, so to speak, and you backslid your way away from God. And now you found yourself in that place, distant. And we wonder why relationships aren't working. We don't feel good. We don't feel right. Nothing seems to be worthwhile. Life itself seems to be a struggle and a drudgery. This is your answer. This is your answer tonight, my friend. This is the one answer for all of those problems. This is the one answer that'll settle all the rest of those. It'll bring purpose back where there was only longing. It'll bring satisfaction and fulfillment to our lives where it seemed like day in and day out we were only failures. Appropriating this love and this grace will change everything. As I'm coming to a close tonight, I want a piano player to be ready. And if somebody, if your song leader or the one that does invitational singing has a song that God has placed on your heart, I want you to have it ready. I believe somebody can leave out of here tonight. I believe somebody can leave out of here tonight with the burdens lifted that have been maybe on the heart so long. Could leave here tonight with blue skies where there have been clouds and an overcast for maybe quite some time. I believe somebody, yeah, or maybe many, but somebody, I believe it tonight. I'm not some kind of prophet or have some kind of word from heaven, but this truth is universal. It covers the spectrum. God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And I've drawn you with that loving kindness. Anna Bartlett Warner and her sister Susan Bogart Warner were both well-known American authors of Christian novels and children's books and religious songs. The sisters would occasionally co-author. While Susan was writing her novel, Say and Seal, she asked Anna to write a children's song that would be sung by a character in the story to comfort a dying child. Anna responded to this request. The book was published in 1860. In 1862, William Bradbury, and he's a composer of Just As I Am and Sweet Hour of Prayer, he read Say and Seal, and he was so moved to add melody to Anna's simple yet profound song lyrics. Bradbury also added a one-line chorus to the song to be repeated over and over. Just four simple words. The song quickly became one of the most beloved children's songs of all time. It's been translated into many languages and sung in Sunday school rooms and children's bedrooms all around the world for more than 150 years. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. It would do us good, friend. We give it to the kids. It would do us good to remember Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Me, this I know, as He loved so long ago, taking children on His knees, saying, let them come to Me. Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give light and love to all who live. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. We get a piano player this time. Please don't dismiss this truth tonight. Please don't pass this off for somebody else. But I want to know tonight, for you and you alone, do you know that God loves you? Do you know that He's living inside of you? Do you know that He wants to take your life and make it what it was always intended to be? There'll be nothing any greater than living out a life in the will of God. There's no higher mountain. There's nothing greater than to live out a life in the center of the world. It'll be the best. Why do we let the devil and the world tell us if we go God's way, it'll be bad? We have to do dumb stuff and marry ugly people and all that, and then never have any fun. Quite the contrary. I'm having the time of my life. And I told Him today, Lord, I'm in love with You. And I want to be more in love with You tomorrow than I am today. As she's getting ready and you're thinking about this, I was a brand new Christian. And I was driving to Lexington, Kentucky from our little hometown in a little 1984 four-door Honda Accord, the ugliest little car ever was, but God gave it to me, so I just shined it and drove it. And I was coming back from a long day's work, and in front of me was the ugliest storm you ever seen. Black skies and thunder and lightning. I could see walls of rain coming my direction. And I was singing in that little car, humming down the highway. And I had a habit, and I still do. Every now and then, I'll just look out my window, look up to heaven, and say, Lord, I love You. I just do. I guess I got issues. But that day, I started to say that. And there was an audible voice in my head and in my heart, not in my ear. And before I could say, I love You, Lord, I heard, I love You. I heard the God of heaven tell me that He loved me. And as a new Christian, that felt so good. And I hope tonight, across this congregation, it's ringing in our head and in our heart as the God of heaven says, I love You. I have loved You. I love You now. I will love You. Let me have Your life. Let's do this the right way. He says, I love You. Let's be standing together as she plays. I want you to come. This Sunday night, I know I got to drive 2 hours or so back up there to Indianapolis. But you know what? Right now, I really don't care. Because I believe there's some folks in this crowd that's got longing on your face. I've seen it. You may not be even looking at me right now, but I've seen you through this message, and I've seen longing. Won't you come, my God, tonight? Won't you come and just fall down on your knees right in the love of God, right up here up front? Won't you come? Won't you come, sir? Won't you come, young man? Won't you come on and embrace this love that God wants to meet you with? Ma'am, mom, won't you come? Won't you come and let Him do it? Won't you come and let Him bring you in and embrace you? No. No, it won't. It ain't magic fairy dust. That'll sprinkle over your life and turn everything just like you want it. Young lady, won't you come? in the front, in the back. Won't you come? Because even though it won't fix everything, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll give you somebody to be there with. And somebody to be with you. It'll give you somebody to roll the burdens over on. It'll give you somebody to let the pressures off of life itself. And it'll give you somebody that'll stick with you and says, I love you. I love you. When the devil tells you that nobody loves you, it'll give you somebody that'll stick with you. It'll be so much more than that, but just at a glance tonight. I came to him to get out of trouble. I came to him to get out of hell. I came to him to get off of dope. And now I serve him because I love him. Glory to God. Now I serve him because he's the best. He's the greatest. He's my best friend. Won't you come and find a friend in Jesus? You that's been under the load and everything's pushed and pushed and pushed and you've looked for answers. You've dug and you've dug. Oh, but it's always coming back to this place right here. We've been here before, ain't we? No, not us exactly. But we've been here before. The preacher's preached. God's moved. Glory, he's done it. He's moved. He's done what he said he'd do. And here we are in that place now where it's our turn to respond and say yes to the move of God. I'm not going to hold you much longer, friend. I want you to come. But even greater than that, I believe the God of heaven beckons tonight with the draw of his loving kindness and says, won't you come to me? Won't you come to me and I'll lighten that load? Won't you come to me and I'll help you with forgiveness? Won't you come to me? I'll help you with bitterness. Won't you come to me? See, I don't understand, brother. I don't understand, Lord. He says, won't you come? And we'll talk about it. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Well, I'm done. If you come now, you'll come on your own. Won't some of you good sisters that's got good victory and know the power of prayer, won't you come in and help this young lady pray? And you that are in limbo tonight and hanging on while she's praying and they're coming and the church is praying, if you're tired and need to be seated, you go ahead. But you that need to come, won't you just come on? Won't you just slip out of there? On this Sunday night. Just a Sunday evening service. Just a Sunday evening service.